Clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to you today. Thanks for being here with us for our service. We're blessed to be together in the Lord's name this morning. And today, getting to see how, and this is amazing to see, how in the Old Testament scriptures, we often see so much of our Lord just showing up and so much of the gospel and the life that God brings to us through the gospel in the text of the Old Testament. So we'll see that this morning from Isaiah, a blessed message of hope and peace and restoration from the prophet's words. Always incredible to see, even in the book of Acts, how the apostles, in their sermons, when you read the sermons of the apostles in the book of Acts, how they're always drawing on those Old Testament texts and preaching Christ, and how powerful of a reality that is in their context and in our own. So we're blessed to do that today. Glad you made it in for our service. We have a great service planned for you on this third Sunday of Advent. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for being with us that way. And if you're listening on the radio or in the sanctuary, do know that our Christmas Eve service is coming up. It's 6:30 p.m. on December 24th. And we will have that live on the radio for folks as well. So we're blessed to be able to do that, and looking forward, of course, in Advent to Christmas and Christmas Eve service. That's our candlelight service here, which we all love very much, and it's always such a great blessing. So thanks for being here today. We do wish you the Lord's blessings as you receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament, with us today. And our service begins this morning with our opening hymn. That's hymn number 346, When All the World Was Cursed. Let's sing together hymn 346.
Thank you.
Please stand if you're able. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that by nature sinful and unclean, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 71 and Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today on this third Sunday of Advent comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in the 35th chapter. This text is also the text for our sermon this morning. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children up to the altar this morning for our children's sermon. Hey guys,
hi,
how you doing today?
Good.
Hey, guess what? I have a gift for four of you because Victor and Gus got theirs last Sunday. But if you look up on our tree, see the wooden star at the top hanging right there? Do you see that? That's, here, I'll point it out to you. Look, it's right here. See it? Very special. There's a star, and that star is called the Moravian star, and that's a star that reminds us of what really important star? You guys tell me. Which one?
The one that led the wise man to Jesus.
Exactly. That's why it's on the Christmas tree, Aaron. Good job. And because there's one up on the Christmas tree, I wanted everybody to have one. Now Victor and Gus already have theirs because they got it last week, but this is a very special gift, and it comes from a man in our congregation who's actually here this morning. His name is Don Iser, and he's sitting right back there. And each of these stars, guess how he made them? He whittled them with his knife. And each of these stars take Mr. Iser over 2 hours a piece to make, and he made them for you guys. Isn't that great? And that's to take home and put on your Christmas tree. So that, oh, well, when you get one, you can you can hang that star on it. And then it'll match our Christmas tree at the church. So when you wake up Christmas morning and you see it, you can remember our Lord Jesus and our church and all the blessings. Whoa, cool.
Now,
a silver star. Oh, that's perfect. That star has very same meaning as those stars. Oh, an angel. Angels are good. That's what's on the top of our tree at home, too, is an angel. But stars and angels are both good things to have on Christmas trees. Okay, now I want to ask you guys a question. It's not about stars, though. I just wanted to make sure you guys got your stars. This question is about water. Water. Do you think water is weak or water is powerful?
Powerful.
Why? Why is water powerful? It could. And water could take over the world. It could, huh? Water could destroy the robots that would take over the world. It could. Correct, you are. Now, did that ever happen before? That water took over the world?
No.
Yes, it flooded.
Yeah, what about the Great Flood? When water was everywhere, huh? Yeah, that happened. Yeah, Joseph? got to be crazy. Yeah.
The water didn't actually take over the world.
Well, it covered the whole earth, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it didn't stay.
That's true. Eventually the waters went down, right? Yeah. But water is a really, really powerful thing, huh? Tell me something else water can do. What does water do besides just like come in and you know, push things over? It keeps us healthy. That's right.
And it can be called
H2O. You are correct. Yes. Water is very powerful because water gives life. Think about if you plant a seed in the dirt. If you planted a little seed in the dirt, what would you have to do to get that seed to grow?
Water.
You'd have to water it. And the water comes and it gives the seed life and the seed grows up into a plant. And water is very powerful, right? Well, we're kind of like plants, right? In some ways. I see the connection, yeah. Yeah, but water also has an amazing, amazing thing that God uses it for, too. Can anybody guess what that might be? Good job, baptism. And is water itself powerful enough to do the baptism, or does it need help?
It needs help.
And where does it get help? From God. And God gives us his word. And his word connected to the water is what makes the baptism powerful. And in baptism, what does God give us? Tell me real quick. He gives us some gifts in baptism. Do you guys know what they are?
Stars.
Heaven is one of them, yeah.
Stars.
Well, you guys got a gift today of a star. Life.
Faith.
Good one. You're exactly right. Yes, it did do that, Joseph. Good job. Yeah, it gives us faith, life, salvation, eternal life even in baptism, and also forgiveness of sins. So water is a very powerful thing in the world, and God uses it in the church too to give his blessings of faith and life forever. That's very true. Okay, let's fold our hands, bow our heads, close our eyes. Would you guys pray? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for loving us and for your word, which guides our way to Jesus. Thank you for baptism and the gifts you give us. Strengthen us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for coming up. Great to see you. Somebody lost a shoe. Two shoes. Oh, look, your shoes kind of look like water. Those are cool. Our next reading is our epistle reading. It comes from the fifth chapter of the book of James. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand if you're able for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? And then, what then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day? It's hymn 345. Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. You know, when Martin Luther wrote about Isaiah, he told his readers that we shouldn't even deal with the book of Isaiah unless we know two things. Number one, the meaning of the very first word of Isaiah. And number two, we should know something at least about Israel at the time, about the southern and northern kingdoms and about the issues that the people faced, their fears and their triumphs, their disobedience, their ignorance, and their joy. So I think if we're going to talk about Isaiah this morning, we probably should consider some of these basic things about the book. Do you know what the first word in the book of Isaiah is in the Hebrew? It's not as exciting as you're thinking. It's just the title, which is Isaiah, which is exactly what Luther was talking about. Who was Isaiah? Well, the scriptures say he was a prophet, called to be a prophet in the year that King Uzziah was anointed. Died. The year that King Uzziah died. And the thing that I think, at least for our purposes today, that we need to understand about Isaiah is that Isaiah was, not respected at all among the people of his own time. Isaiah was not the way we think about him. You know, we think about the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is this amazing godly thing, which it is. But it's very well respected among us as Christians. Among the people of Isaiah's time, he was not respected at all. According to his own words in chapters 57 and 58, the people wagged their tongues at him, pointed their fingers at him, and ridiculed him all the time. In fact, it was even a custom of the people to mock the prophets and consider them madmen, according to 2 Kings chapter 9. I mean, how else would people show their appreciation for the person who calls them out on their evil sins? And as our chapter this morning is no different, we're in chapter 35. But later, I challenge you and encourage you, when you have time, just go back one chapter into chapter 34 and read it. Because there you see why the people didn't like the prophets. Why the people didn't like Isaiah. There in chapter 34, Isaiah calls the people out on the sins of idolatry. In full view of the impending exile of the north from Assyria, it lies on the horizon for the people. Oppression from larger foreign nations is coming in to bring God's swift judgment onto the people, to exile the people away for their sin of idolatry. And Isaiah, well, what fate awaited him? Although he prophesied before the Assyrian exile and even on beyond it, the fate that awaited him was nothing very beautiful either. According to the Jewish writings in the Talmud, he was sawn in two. Well did our Lord speak of it in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, when he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who sent to it." So if we look at chapter 34, for just a few moments, we see there Isaiah telling of God's righteous anger towards an idolatrous people. Verse 2 tells us of 34 that the Lord is enraged. Really strong language. Against all the nations, he's furious, it says. He has devoted them to destruction, it says. There's some really colorful language in Isaiah 34. The sword will drink its fill, he says. And the mountains flowing with blood. The smell of corpses rising up and the land lying desolate. And the porcupines and hawks shall inhabit the land where the people once were. Isaiah says the rivers will turn to pitch. The soil to sulfur. It shall be, he says in verse 13, overgrown with thistles and the haunts of jackals. You see why the people didn't like him very much? Yeah. No different than if someone today was saying about our U.S. of A. We look around at our prosperity, at our goods, at our leadership, maybe, at the idols of our heart. The things we think we own. And if someone was saying all these things about us, we'd think they were crazy. If they kept confronting us, we would avoid them. We'd gossip about them behind their backs, and eventually they'd suffer probably the same thing the prophets in Israel suffered, kind of public shame and ridicule. Well, meet Isaiah. It's from his pen this morning that we read. But this is what makes chapter 35 just stand out so much, what we read this morning in our reading. Chapter 35 is a complete reversal of this reality, of all that utter destruction. Now all of a sudden it's different. Listen again here with new ears, kind of hearing about Isaiah and what was going on in Israel. After chapter 34, verse 1 of chapter 5. Remember, in the original text, there's no numbers. It's not broken up. The wilderness and the dry land, it says, shall be glad. The desert or the desolate place shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus, the first flower. This wilderness, this desert, just in verse 1, what's it talking about? It's the desert that was described in chapter 34. It's the desert of God's wrath, the punishment of sin, the righteous law of God literally coming to roost. See, God's law comes to us as well. And it does the same thing. It lays our sinful pride to waste. It crushes the old nature. If we really hear God's law and not just brush it aside like they did the prophets, but really listen to what it's saying, every single time it will convict us to the core. It'll make us even feel desolate. And the law itself, it would come and it would destroy and it would kill. The law does not come to bring life to sinners, it comes to kill sinners. And when we hear it and we see what it's doing, we realize that just the law, if we were left with just the law, just the rules for who you should be and who I should be and how we should act towards others and how we should even feel in our hearts, if we were just left with that, our feelings would look just like Isaiah described in chapter 34, desolate and dark, a place for jackals and hawks. But then the gospel. Because we're not just left with the law. We're not just left with desolation and destruction. And God knows that. This is the purpose the whole time in Christ. Because then what Jesus says to us, what Jesus says to us becomes like chapter 35. This is what Isaiah is actually speaking about in verse 2 of our lesson when he says, they shall see the glory of God, the majesty of God, in his forgiveness, in him bringing life to us. Our hearts are desolate without him. But then here comes this gospel of the forgiveness of those sins that are so clear in the view of the law. It's like water rushing across us. It's like water bringing to us life where there once was death, light where there once was darkness, growth where there once was nothing. I think it works the same way for John the Baptist, actually, in our text from the gospel reading. John the Baptist is in prison, stuck there, and sends his disciples to Jesus saying, are you the one to come or should we look for another? And Jesus says to him these things. The deaf hear, the lame walk, The poor have the good news preached to them. And you know where those things come? They're from Isaiah. From Isaiah chapter 29 and chapter 35 and chapter 8. These words bring hope and life to this servant of the Lord, John the Baptist, who's stuck in a dark prison. And it's in Isaiah 8 where Isaiah foretold our Lord Jesus. But you know what he calls him there in chapter 8? He called him a stumbling block, a rock of offense. But he also calls him there a sanctuary. And no doubt, it's offensive when John's sitting in prison and he hears that the prisoners are set free. And he says, well, what about me? I'm a prisoner. Is this Jesus really the Messiah? He is indeed. And this is exactly how the law works. It comes to lay desolate the self-righteous self. But it's the gospel of God's love in Jesus Christ that becomes like this beautiful, life-giving water to us. But it's also true for many of us today. That we look around at the things that we have. We look at our military power of our country. Nobody could beat us. And we feel secure. And when somebody says, hey, you want to come to church? Would you like to come to church with me? How do they look at them? How does the world see that person? The world very much sees that person just like the people of Isaiah's day saw him. They stick out their tongues at us. They point and scoff at us. Why? They say, why would I want that? What need do I have for God? I have all this stuff. I'm good. I have everything I want. I'm good. I have everything I need. What's mine belongs to me and I earned it myself. See, that's what Isaiah was talking about in chapter 8. He said, and many shall stumble upon him. They shall fall and be broken, and they shall be snared and taken. But then he goes on in chapter 8. Now listen to these words real carefully. He says, bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching. Seal the teaching among my disciples. And I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face. I will hope in him. Here Isaiah speaks of the gospel comfort to us who continue to be a part of his testimony, who have his word and his gospel in our Bibles and in our hearts. And despite what so many people might think about that, despite the secret words and the mocking and the pointing and the scoffing for us at our faith, he speaks to those who have rivers of living water that Jesus talked about in John's gospel pouring out from us all the time. Isaiah's words are still to this day water in the desert. And this is both encouraging to us and a challenge for us. That desert, that desolate place described in chapter 34, that's unbelief. That's people looking to themselves instead of Christ. And in chapter 35, the water that brings life to the desert, that's what's in you and me by the gospel. That's what the rivers of living water Jesus talks about in John that flow out of us. That Jesus has included us in this mission and he lets us bring that kind of life. Remember what he told the woman at the well? I'll give you living water and you'll never thirst again. He's given that to us as believers. And we get to take that and share that with others and bring that life. And sure, some people will turn away. Some people, it'll be a stumbling block to them. And some people will treat you just like they treated Isaiah. But Christ has given you a great gift. And that word that you speak to them, even if they do treat you that way, that word is alive. It's not a dead word. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And those words that you speak, when you share the hope that's within you about Jesus, you're bringing, and this is such a blessing, to bring that water into that desert, that life into that desolation, just by speaking about the hope you have. And God's wrath against sin is real, and we're all guilty of it. And so don't let anybody's sin that looks bigger to you stop you from sharing the truth of Jesus and his cross, that his cross was for you and it was for them. And that word has so much life to it. I mean, you can almost picture it, right? Like those moments when somebody's down and hurting and they look and they ask, what do I do? How do you do it? How do you make it through this life? And you get to say what Jesus has given you to say, what he's put in your heart, what he's burned into your minds in the Apostles and the Nicene Creed through the liturgy, what he teaches us in Bible class, when you get to say, well, the Lord is my strength and my hope, a very present help in trouble. Well, the Lord Jesus loves me and he died on the cross for me. He forgives me all my sins. When you say that, can you almost just picture it? Like this water that creeps into that dark, desolate place and things start to spring up. Brothers and sisters, speak those things to the people who need to hear them. God literally sent us to do that. Go unto all nations, he says. And we look for those opportunities as God brings them to us. Because the reading from Isaiah takes on a whole new meaning when you listen to it like that. Like that. Listen to it again here as we close. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen those weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. Brothers and sisters, these things are happening right now today through the Word of God as we share it. And the Lord's law, it does bring judgment, but it does not come to destroy anyone. It comes to make way for the gospel. It comes to make way for this message that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was crucified for the forgiveness of your sin. For the life eternal for you. Jesus died for you. All that dark and dreary stuff that we fear, it fell onto him. And the desert now comes to an end in Christ, and the lush water flows again. Let us take that testimony out to those who are still dwelling in that parched land in their hearts, and know that we bring Christ, a light to the Gentiles, and the pure gospel of refreshment to all who trust in him. No matter if they see us like Isaiah or not, an amazing company to be in, friends. An amazing company to be in. You know what? They could wag their fingers and they could stick out their tongues, but it didn't stop the word of God, and it still will not stop his love for his people. For Christ has given his disciples the words of life. And our God, on his quest to save, will not be stopped. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life.
We now come to our time for our prayers of the church. We do want to say and remember a special prayer for the Hermanson family today as at the passing of Dawn this weekend. We do love you, and you are on our hearts and in our prayers all the time, Carol, Lynn, and Ingrid. And we'll also mention them, of course, in the prayers of the church today. We'll miss Don. We all knew him and loved him. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you are the source of all joy, and from you flows into the wilderness life itself. And Lord, that life flowed into us in the hearing of your word. Sustain us in a time as we wait for your will and purpose to unfold in these last days. Give us patience in trials and hope, a hope that endures all changes and chances of this mortal life. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you have sent messengers to prepare the way of your Son's coming. Grant us ears to hear and hearts to believe the words delivered to us by pastors and those who bear your word. And Lord, also grant us the strength to go forth and share the hope that's within us with all to whom you give us the opportunity. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have instituted the home to be a refuge for husbands and wives and a place of growth and safety for children. Look with favor upon the homes of our land and grant that the faith might be delivered from one generation to the next. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give your guidance to those that are entrusted with positions of leadership in our government. Lord, help us not to set our hopes on what they can accomplish, but instead, Lord, to trust in you and your work among us. But we do pray that you would protect our leaders, protect our servicemen and women, those who defend our country day and night against our enemies, and those who enact and enforce our laws among us in our community. Lord, we lift them to you today and ask that you protect them and strengthen them, especially during these seasons. Lord, in your mercy.
Your
heart. O Lord, our God, the prophet Isaiah looked for the day when blind eyes would see, deaf ears would hear, lame legs would leap, and mute tongues would sing. Lord, until the final day of restoration, draw near to all who have requested our prayers. Lord, especially we name before you from the altar this morning the Hermanson family. We pray that you would grant them peace and strength in the gospel in their loss. Lord, we also lift up to you the Messick family and the Dutton family and their loss as well. Give comfort. Give peace. Lord, we also name before you from the altar this morning Dick Greitz, family of Ed Wiseman, Wendy Vest, Brian Haas and family, Marcus and family, Teresa O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Betty Patton, Carly Moore, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolic, Frank and Audra Rendon, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, grant healing according to your gracious will and bind up those who grieve, that they may look for the resurrection of all flesh. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you give strength to those who are anxious. Give us hearts that trust in you at all times, hands that work for you, eyes that see for you, ears that hear for you, and feet that carry us wherever you'd have us go. And grant us courage to comfort our doubts and fears with your word. And give us strength to fulfill our vocations of worship and witness, prayer and works of mercy. Lord, in your mercy. It is with great jubilation, O Lord, that we rejoice at your Son's gracious visitation in his body and blood in the fellowship of this altar. Grant us faith to receive him worthily, as he comes in this foretaste of the Lamb's marriage feast. Lord, in your mercy. O God, your love invites us to rejoice in your goodness. In every circumstance of life, teach us the joy that comes from knowing your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and to eagerly expect his gracious visitation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Before we have our offering this morning, we do have something as a part of our service. Gabe Jardin, if you would come forward now, please. Please be seated. You all know Gabe, for the most part anyways. Gabe is has been appointed by our Director of Lay Ministry to the Board of Lay Ministry. So we acknowledge that now and install him in the office of a lay minister. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "Each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as to one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as to one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Gabe Jarden has been appointed to serve on the lay ministry board. Gabe, you have been chosen to fill specific office in the church and the responsibility here at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. You're to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You're to see to the services of God's house that are held at proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, and that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution. The provision is made for Christian instruction of the young and old, that the erring are admonished and discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of this congregation, and furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it's especially important that you, as an office bearer in his church, show yourself by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the office entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises and faithfulness spoken by Gabe, whom was selected by our director of lay ministry to serve on the board of lay ministry. Do you promise to support him in his work, to remember him in your prayers, and to work with him to the best of your abilities that God has given you, that God may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer together, we do.
We do.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in Providence, Rhode Island, updating the